Let me pray and we'll jump into the word. Father, thank you for this morning. Jesus, we want to see you revealed in our hearts through your word in greater ways, greater magnitude, greater power. Lord, that we would have confidence in knowing you and in encountering you. Help us today in Jesus' name. Amen. We are in our Encounters with Jesus sermon series. And today our text is Luke chapter 3, verses 15 through 22. If you have one of the blue pew Bibles, I believe it's on page 501 in your pew Bible there. Unless you have a large print, you'll be able to see where it is. I don't know where it's exactly. Luke chapter 3, verses 15 through 22. Of course, the words will be on the screen. As the people were in expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all, that he locked up John in prison. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. This is God's word. How many of you like to just study the stars? Or you have a telescope you like to gaze? Does anybody? See, I have a newfound appreciation. My family and I, we lived 16 years in New York City. I think there's about 3 stars that you can see from there. I don't know which ones they were. We certainly didn't own a telescope. We only had a little patch of sky we could see anyways out of our building, since we could see the other building behind us. But if I was to tell you that the largest, debatable, but largest sun in the universe that we know of has a photosphere where the radius is 1,708 solar radii, you're probably not going to really grasp how big that is. It really doesn't really say anything. And it's actually not until I could give you its size by comparison to other bodies that you will be able to understand its volume. And similarly, for us to understand how great Jesus is, what both the gospel writer Luke does and what John the Baptist does is it shows us his greatness by way of comparison so that we could fully grasp who he is and actually have a chance to have an encounter with him. Today, the title of this message is called A Self-Revealing God. He's so great, he has to reveal himself, a self-revealing God. And there's, hold your hats, 4 points today. I tried really hard to make it 3, but I just gave up. So 4 points. Number 1, kingship. Number 2, baptism. Number 3, sonship. Number 4, servanthood. These are 4 things that are revealed here about Jesus, about God in the flesh. He's revealing to us that we need to know to have an encounter. Number 1, kingship. Number 2, his baptism. His kingship, his baptism, his sonship, his servanthood. As we've been studying the series, we're looking at Jesus' encounters with people to show us what God is truly like and what he is calling us to be in him. And it's important that God reveals himself. If you think about the song Joan Osborne, One of Us, you familiar with that song? What if God was one of us, just a slob Like One of Us, just a stranger on the bus trying to find his way home. You remember that song? Right? So if Jesus is that familiar, or I should say, if God were that familiar to us, well, first of all, he wouldn't. If he was just like us, he can't save us. If he's just like us, we're probably not going to recognize him also. He's like, well, he's just like us. But if God's so far different from us, well, then we can't figure our way out to him either. We need God to reveal himself. That's what he's doing here in this passage, this self-revealing God. This is the one encounter with Jesus we're going to study in the whole series where Jesus says nothing of himself, but it's what is said about him and what he does that's so poignant. So first point, his kingship. If you want to have an encounter with Jesus, you can't see him just as a good teacher. You can't see him just as a great moral leader or a great religious guy. You have to see him as a king. You have to. If you want to encounter him, you have to acknowledge that he is king. You have to approach him as a king. And if for you to understand his greatness, you see, because he is unmatched, you can't just give stats or data about him. You have to compare him to other things to really fully do, to understand and grasp who he is, just as what's happening in the text. If you're a baseball fan, or even if you're not a baseball fan, you could sort of mentally at least understand this. How do you decide who is the greatest baseball player? How do you decide who would be among the great, even if you can't acknowledge the one person? If you're following the season, let's just say, okay, disclosure, I am a Yankees fan, all right? Just, all right, most of you know that, but if you're new, now you know. Okay, Aaron Judge is having a great season, right? But if I couldn't tell you, you wouldn't be able to appreciate his season unless you compared Aaron Judge to everybody else's season and see how he's number one in home runs, he's number one in how many runs he has driven in, he's number one in this thing called OPS, I believe he is. You have to know what stats to look at. You have to know how to compare. In the realm of heavenly bodies, the earth. Earth is really big, right? 7+ billion people live here. The earth is so big that 18 Mercuries, the planet, could fit in the earth. 18. Because Mercury is about as wide as the Atlantic Ocean. So you could fit 18 in volume Mercuries in the earth. Earth is really big. The earth is big. However, Saturn is a lot bigger. You could put 700 Earths in Saturn. Do you guys remember if you were the Christmas star you had this past December where it was Saturn and Jupiter were really close together and you could see them in the night sky? That was really, really amazing. 700 Earths in Saturn. Jupiter's even bigger. Right? You could put 1,300 Earths in Jupiter. That's really big. But what about the sun? The sun is massive. It's really hard to understand how big it is. You could put 1,000,000 Earths in the sun. Just think about that. There's 7 billion of us here on the planet, times the size of our planet, by 1,000,000, and you get the sun. But the sun is not the biggest body in the universe. Arguably, it is UV SCOTY. I told you what the radii or whatever solar radii, and that means nothing. You could put 1,000,000 Earths in our sun. You could put our sun in UV SCOTY 5 billion. Times. That is massive. You wouldn't understand it if I told you the other way, but now you start to get to see how big. The photosphere of UV SCOTY is so big, that's kind of the way you would measure its volume or surface. It would be, if you put it where our sun is, it would go all the way, I think it's to Saturn's, past Saturn's orbit. It's incredibly massive. What John the Baptist does is in this passage is he says, if you want to understand how great Jesus is,
If you think that I'm great, you think that you want to orbit your life around me. No, no, no. He is the sun. He's the one you want to orbit around.
You see, because he says in verse 15, there's this great expectation that people are expecting the Messiah. It's been 400 years since there's been a prophet in Israel, and here's John prophesying and preaching in the wilderness, and people are coming out to him and getting baptized and repenting. And so they start to wonder, is this the Messiah? Is this the figure that all the Old Testament has been talking about that is going to usher forth God's kingdom and free us from our being subjected to Roman rule? Is this the one? And John answers them in verse 16. He says, he basically says no, and he says why. There's something much greater, someone much greater, much of greater magnitude and power who's coming. I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming. You see the comparison? He's UV Scotty, I'm the earth. The strap of his sandals I'm not worthy to untie. In the ancient times in Israel, a foreign slave could untie his master's sandals. A Jewish slave could not, a Hebrew slave couldn't. And in fact, a disciple could be asked to do many things he would never untie. That was just too low. John says, I'm not even worthy to be in the slave category compared to how great he is. Luke, the gospel writer, if you see the way he lays out the narrative of John's birth, John the Baptist, and Jesus' birth, it's everything about John, Jesus exceeds. John has a miraculous birth, born to parents who no longer are able to bear children. Elizabeth, past the age of childbearing. Jesus, even more miraculous, a virgin birth. It says in one instance that John grew in wisdom. It says twice that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, favor with God and man. We see one of the accounts of what people are saying John's father, Zechariah,